Lord, we pray for Manny and Molly in California, for your spirit to work in every life, divine appointments, your spirit in our country, Lord. Yes, Jesus, for the men and women of faith, Lord, for the schools, Bible school, seminaries, for there to be this Holy Spirit doing the work deep, addressing issues of our hearts, addressing the secret things of our hearts, Lord. Yes, restore our souls. Freshness, Lord. Freshness in life. Freshness, God, that we would see, believe, rejoice. Yes, Lord. Answer our prayers. Liberate people from demons. Liberate people from bondages. Liberate people from bad habits. Liberate people from hindering spirits. Liberate people from our ego. Liberate us from the stubborn things in our flesh. Liberate us to be free. Yes, Lord, to love, to forgive, to be very patient, very kind. Lord, bless the teaching here. Help us understand the hour and the situation and the value of the message. Help us to understand our purpose as a church in the city of Baltimore and beyond, in our affiliation in countries like India and China, for the Plunkets, for the Russians. We pray for them and the churches there, to minister to them by your grace and your spirit. Do it with us as we are all in the world, but not of it, Lord. For the men of God in the ministry, we pray for Pastor Shabelli tonight in Ronaldo in Africa, for Stan Collins and Karen, the many, many people that we know and love. Thank you for convention coming up, Lord, for your spirit to do it, your spirit to bring people here, your spirit to baptize us into the body, your Holy Spirit to call people to take up the cross, to follow you, to trust you. Your spirit to lead us in our family life, Lord, raising children, loving our spouse with all our hearts, to love you with all our hearts, Lord. Correct us. Yes, lead us. Be our advocate, our counselor. Bless these thoughts in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, first, he is Parakletos, okay? A couple sub-points and then the message to turn to John 16. We have that beautiful word, Parakletos, the comforter translated. And if you look at the word using William Barclay, who does such a good job as a scholar defining these words, we have, he says here, and this is the simple breakdown of a number of pages of information, but he has this word, means to call in, to call in. So a man is to call in an ally, to call in a counselor to give advice, to call in an advocate. This is the verb, parakalein, and it's to maintain and train a team at his own expense to run in the torch race. That's how it was used, to call in. It's also to call in the gods as helpers. It is, okay, so we have help because he himself cannot cope. So the basic meaning is a helper, and we must now try to put some more definite content in the meaning. This is the part that caught my attention, and it is... It is the rare to say the word it means comforter. It's the rarest meaning of the word. The better taken in the Greek language, it has the background of a comfort, but it's stronger. It makes a man able to stand on his own two feet and face life. So in Job 4:4, in the Moffat translation, your words have kept men on their feet. It is a description of the effect of the parakalein. I like this because I'm not sure that we are able to really stand and face life by ourselves. We may, in some form or version of it, but when it comes to God and what God has for us, We need the Parakletos, we need the Holy Spirit to have us stand and face life, face responsibility, face the truth, to know the truth, to stand, to have the Spirit of God in us so that we can be here and do what he has called us to do. So in John 16, verse 13, 14, 15, 16, we read this on Sunday. Albeit when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. And that isn't what not my truth, but he guides us into his truth. It's not my way, it's his way. He guides us in this. This is the reason why he came. And I believe you have benefited. Be patient with your life, but you have benefited from the Spirit of truth. That's what we drink in our meetings. We drink the Spirit in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13. And we hear what the Spirit says to us. Isaiah 30, verse 20, we hear the voice behind us saying, this is the way, walk in it. If you survive this, if you walk in the Spirit, and you survive the challenges in life, you benefit, you increase, you grow. There's another subpoint here, being offended. Are you offended, Jesus said. In John chapter 6, are you offended by what I say? These are hard sayings. Are you offended? Yes, I'm offended. Does your neighbor offend you? Does the gospel offend you? Does the church offend you? Does your friend offend you? Does your wife offend you? And so on. And what's the answer? Yes. We get offended. It's very popular in life that people talk about, you offended me. You know, that's not fair. That's not just. You offended me. I'm hurt by what you say. I'm wounded by what you say. This is like in our culture. But the Holy Spirit is in you so that you can stand and face the offense. You can stand and face the offense. You don't run. I get offended. I quit. I'm done. I'm done with you, so I go away. That's one way to live. That's a way that many people live. Many people live like that. The result is they don't spiritually grow. You cannot spiritually grow if you're offended and are moved by the offense to run away or go away. The way I solve the offense is I disappear. I'm offended. I'm gone. I'm done. And I disappear. That's how people do. But this spiritually, you don't grow if you and I do that. You don't grow. You just leave. But as you leave, you just leave being offended. And that's maybe your story. I'm done. I got offended. So that's one way. But this is not why the Parakletos came. He came so that when we are offended, he puts us on our feet, and he has us, he leads us, so that we can say, I forgive you. I forgive you. It's beautiful. I got hurt, but I forgive you. It wasn't fair, but I forgive you. I forgive you. This is love. Love is not easily offended, but it is. The other side of that is we do get offended. We get offended. I mean, in oftentimes or sometimes. I don't know. I think it's relevant to how you look at life. You can get so that you're not easily offended, by the way. Okay, Psalm 119, 165. Great peace have they that love your word. Nothing will offend them. If they love your word, there nothing will offend them. Okay, this is a profound lesson. And I want you to just listen to me and process that. Great peace have they that love thy word. Help me. Great peace have they that love thy word. What is it? In nothing? Boy, did we put it up? Oh, good. And nothing shall offend. Okay, great. Thank you. Okay. Jesus offended me. The Sanhedrin offended me. The cross offends me. The people that follow Jesus offend me. My friends offend me. And so then we're children. We just easily get offended, and we're just children. And that's all that we have. And that's all that my message is. I'm offended. Well, where does that put you as a person? I'm a child. I got offended. That's all. So go in the corner and cry about it. And when you want to face life, come back and say, forgive me. Yes, forgiveness. What's the connection with the offense? It is processing it through love. That's agape love. That's a very common theme amongst us here. Uh-oh. Not now. Okay. Agape love. We'll put here love in 1 Corinthians 13, love. You know this chapter. You're learning it as you come and you listen and you're reading your Bible. Love, 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 love. Jesus is on the cross. Forgive them. Wow, there it is. It's the gold standard of life is that kind of love. That's it. That's God. That's God. When you can forgive, you are like God. When you and I learn to forgive and not be offended, okay, we get offended, but we process it and we learn it and we learn to love. When you learn to love, you actually grow. You actually grow spiritually. You are growing. You're walking in the Spirit. You're learning to love, and God is with you. And you are blessed, by the way. Do you know how you get blessed? It's not by having more money. It's not, money is not, that's not how you get blessed. It's not by having a wife or a husband or a family or a house or a job or a career. You know how you get blessed? Living in the Spirit of God. The Parakletos. You know how you get blessed in life? God puts you on your feet and you're able to face life. Let's look at one example before we get to the message. Job 38. Come on, I believe you and I honestly believe we're increasing with the increase of God by learning to live in the Spirit and love. I really believe that there's an increase. There's an increase in your own heart, and then there's an increase in relationships, increase in the body of Christ. God gives and increases us in the body. Because that's how a physical body grows. It doesn't like one arm grows, the rest of the body stays little. The body stays little and then one arm grows really big. Okay? That reminds me of a Far Side cartoon I saw. That's a side point. I wish I had it. I'd show it to you. Okay, so the arm is huge under the table, and there's a little guy arm wrestling. Okay, so hilarious. It's hilarious. So there's an increase in the body. And this is a key. Look at Job 38. After there's been a lot of talking going on, and finally God is speaking in verse 1. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, "Who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up now your loins like a man." I go right down here, this word, this phrase. Did any of your fathers ever tell you that? Anybody? Old school?
Pick up your britches.
Pick up what?
Britches.
Pick up your britches? Okay. Life, stand up. I'm requiring of you, right? Chapter 38, verse 3. Gird now up now thy loins like a man. For I will demand of thee an answer, thou me. And what I am saying is, you don't stand up and be a man before God without the Parakletos. He is the one that empowers you. Not only you can do it, but actually you want to do it. The Spirit comes in you. Actually, that is written in Job. Turn to 23. I'm pretty sure it's there. Job 23. Verse 6. Will he plead against me with his great power? Job is speaking about God. Will he plead against me with his great power? No. But he would put strength in me. Yeah, Job got that right. If I meet God, will he hammer me? No. He'll put his strength in me. Yeah. You like it when you walk with God. You like it. You want it. It works. There's an increase. You want the truth. You and I, we relate to truth. We enjoy God. We want the relationship with God. We enjoy God. And so God can talk to us and say to Job, okay, I know you've been through hell. I know that. But now stand up and answer me. Stand up like a man. So that ministry of the Parakletos is for this, that you will end up representing the mind of God and the heart of God before God. You will be there with God, hearing what he says, receiving his counsel, processing it in your heart, agreeing with God, and walking with God, and you will be increasing or growing. God will give you growth in your life. You'll not be a child. You'll actually increase in malice. How does it go? In malice, we are children, but in our understanding, we are like professors, spiritual people. In our understanding, we have an understanding like men of God. So this is the second thing about the Paracletos I have here is, it says, in ordinary secular Greek, by far the most characteristic usage is in connection with help given in some kind of legal trial. In Greece, the Paracletos was the friend of the accused person, called in to speak in support of his character in order to enlist the sympathy of the judges in his favor. It means someone who will present someone else's case to some other person or to some other authority in the most favorable light. I like it. And the reason I'm laughing about it is because I feel my wife does that for me. Like, it would be like this. You know, I'm called to give an answer, and I give the best I could, and then she steps in and says, let me explain to you what he means. Yeah, and I listen to her brilliant answer, go, yeah, that's what I was trying to say. Yeah, that's it. Isn't that an amazing thing that God has given us? That the Holy Spirit is sent into your life to care about you, represent you before God, and to be on your side in this thing called life, where we really are kind of funny as people, and how bad I can do in representing myself. But the Spirit is in you. And I have to say, and I know you're with me in this, but I feel when we gather in Jesus' name, this is a lot more than us. This is the Lord that's helping us understand and helping us realize that we are favored by Him through Jesus Christ. He is on our side. We are okay. He's representing us. He sent the Paracletos into the world to show us things that we don't know about and help us in our lives and to face things. There's another very good point, and it is, when you are offended, process it with God and surrender your rights to God and say, Lord, I want you to represent me in this thing. And would you fill me with your Spirit and teach me and show me love? Because the fruit of the Spirit is love. And the Lord just whispers to your heart, just cool it. I'm here. Forgive him. He doesn't know what he's doing. Or listen, in 3 months I'm going to turn this thing around. Or listen to me. You and I have a fellowship. Walk with me. I will show you things. But I need you to stand up and face it, and I need you to be in it and not run away from it. Now, there are things that we do go away from. I don't mean that. David went away from Saul because God led him. He had to leave Saul. That's true. There are things that we walk away from. That's the answer. On the other hand, David wasn't that kind of person. So now comes our message. And so let's turn to 1 Samuel 17. And we all know the David and Goliath story. We've heard it maybe many times. But I want you just to enjoy it here tonight for a few minutes here. Because in one way, we don't know anything except what can be freshly revealed to us. Verse 32. David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. So where were all the other people? They weren't there. They were there, but they were afraid. You can read that in the text. They were afraid of the giant, and he was a real giant of a man. Yeah, hero. He was a warrior, a hero, and it looks impossible. But David, he said, no, let no man's heart fail because of him. So this is circumstances, putting it in your heart that you can't do it. You know, the circumstances saying, you know, back off, play it safe, it's dangerous, this guy's a killer, he'll take you out. There's no way. There's no way. Circumstances speak to us, all of us, all the time, they can, and so on. But something else is happening in the story. And that's the thing that I want you to know. You might say, well, not me. Yes, you. Yes, you. There's something else happening in the story, and that's for you and me. And this is the Parakletos, the ministry of the Holy Spirit that is in us. Walk in the Holy Spirit. You will be amazed at how life changes, that you're not afraid. Your heart doesn't fail you. Yes, sometimes we are. I know that. I know we're human beings. But I want you to see that God is telling us something in the story, because this is a very real thing for us. Verse 33, Saul said to David, you are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him. You're not able to go to the mission field. You're not able to be a leader, or not able to raise a family, or you're not able to pay the bills, or you're not able to keep your job, or you're not able. You're not able. This is a real giant. This is a killer. This is not going to work. You are but a youth and a man of war from his youth. And David said unto Saul, verse 34, your servant kept his father's sheep. And there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. Now, I asked Pastor Ben about this verse because it's very, and he lives in Israel, as you know, and he knows Hebrew. And I go, was it a lion and a bear at the same time? Like, how did, because it's so powerful story, a lion and a bear. That's, you know, you can't do that. And he led me to believe, or he told me, I don't remember exactly how it went, but I understand it. It is like that. It's like at the same period of time, he killed a lion, a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. Now, growth. When you are offended, learn to forgive, and you will grow. And later, when we really need, when God really needs somebody to say something, or do you believe in something, you believe in, not in something, but in what the Lord's heart is. Later, when the Lord needs somebody there, you're there. Because you learn back here a lesson. You don't really know it, but you just say, I'm living by faith. I'm not running away. The Spirit is leading me to face it and to forgive and to love and to serve and to forgive again and draw near and embrace it and believe God. And now what's happening in your life? You actually end up like you are changing. I don't know if it's a week, a year, or a decade. I don't know, and I don't care about the timing. I just know it's real. I believe that. I'm saying I only know it like you know it. I honestly believe our lives change and we learn about this walk with God in the Holy Spirit. It's beautiful. You don't have to have many words when you got the nature there. It's just there. It's in your heart. And so you just are a forgiving person, gracious person, joyful person. It's just like in your life. It happens like that. And so David is different because he's going at it and he's saying, you know, this isn't a problem. This is not a problem. And everybody else is saying, whoa, where are you talking about? No, he is saying it's not a problem. But everybody else is saying, no, because you can stay a child your whole life and you will live in a child's world. You will. You'll not have what the Lord has for you. Because you cannot get beyond being offended. You cannot get beyond yourself. You and I can't get beyond our life. We can't get beyond our self-interest. We can't get beyond how important you or I am or something like that. So this is the end of the message right there, pretty much. Let's just read the text and shout a little bit and hammer on the Bible once or twice and dismiss you guys. Let's go read it. It says, David said, moreover, verse 37, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion, out of the paw of the bear, he'll deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with you. And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put a helmet of brass upon his head. Also he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go. He had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these. I have not proved them. And David put them off him. What I see in that verse is David's liberty. Put this armor on. And he tries it on, he puts it on, and then he goes, no, I don't care about this. Like, this is different. This is not about the armor. This is about what's in my heart, in my faith, what's the joy I have. It's not about that. It's that Jesus has blessed me. Jesus is with me. Jesus is helping me. I know that Jesus is here. It's about the Parakletos. It's about the Spirit that comes into you so that you can stand and face it and live like that. And that this is a great message, I know, but my prayer is that I hope we can learn it and live in it. And I hope that we would realize, I believe we have realize that the enemies that the world talks about are not a problem to us. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen. And that Jesus in you, as you walk with him, but you have to learn to forgive. I mean, that's a big one. You have to learn. Everybody says forgiveness is a great idea until I have to do the forgiving. You know. It's a great, I love it. Everybody, please, everybody forgive. But, hey, when I got to do that, that's tough. And it is. It is to forgive like God forgives. But we must. So, yep, so that's it. And you know the story. He took him down. Yep. Woo! And he just goes on his way and processes that victory in his heart and knows that that's like the way life can be. And he t- tasted the kingdom of God on the earth, experienced it, and knew God in it, and he becomes a great leader with a lot of people he could help because he had something to give. And so do you. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, if the Holy Spirit in David would do the same in each of us, and we would look at life like so differently from the way the world is afraid, and they are planning and thinking and worried and all those things, and we understand it. But we ask you to bring them to you in a personal way, and then they and all of us would learn what it means to actually be like you, to walk with you, and that your Spirit would fill us and teach us. And we know in the epistles that Paul made it so clear that he suffered a lot for the gospel, but he also had a great Spirit and great epistles that he could write, and a great ministry of doctrine and understanding and care and sympathy for people. And we want that in our lives, to touch each other with life and love and peace and joy. Thank you for this tonight, and bless our family lives and our personal lives with the Spirit of victory. In Christ's name. And then for the seekers and the searchers for Christ, come to him by faith tonight. Say yes to Jesus Christ. I receive you, Jesus, personally in my heart. In Jesus' name I pray. Show me who you are. Fill me with your Spirit and guide me in your name. Amen.